Let's pray. Father God, as we come to start our new series on spiritual gifts, we pray for your Holy Spirit because it is the one who gifts us. We pray for revelation about gifts, about your plan, about our fit in that plan, and also the empowerment of your Spirit to play our part. Lord, I pray that you would just open us all up today to hear what you want to say to each of us as individuals, but also collectively as your body. And be it work in my words that they would be formed and shaped by your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, as we put together this sermon series on spiritual gifts, you know, what are they, how do we use them, and we're thinking through all that, we realise that we have to lay a foundation at the beginning and look at the question, why does God give us spiritual gifts? What is God's master plan in handing out all these spiritual gifts? Because if we don't actually understand that, it's quite easy for us to get confused or misdirected about how to use these gifts. So to help us understand what I mean, I thought I would do a practical illustration of how this might work. And I've got some things here that I want you to imagine are spiritual gifts. What I give out are each spiritual gifts. And we all have gifts. So, Kathy, you get the tin of paint there. All right. You laughed. You got my attention, didn't you? There you go. No, that's for you. A paint roller. I need someone young here to show that gifts are for all ages. I'm giving that gift for you. That's all right. Okay. Well, what have we got over here? I better get over this side a bit. All right. Okay. Better do this in order. Do you know what that is, Tertia? That's filler. That's for filling cracks. Okay. And then, Alison, we've got a spatula here. That's for scraping paint, but it actually works really well with the filler there. And, we need some young guys up here, David. You got some sandpaper. Right. And it works real well when you work together with that block there. And I've got two things left. Well, I don't know who to give these to. Oh, I reckon, Sue, you can have the paint, you can have the roller tray. And then, do we know what this thing is? It's a stirrer. I'm not saying anything there. And last but not least, God's given me a word about this gift. Given that your mum's a cleaner, there's a bucket with sugar soap and a sponge in there for those perfectionists who need the wall really clean before work. Paint. All right. You've now received your spiritual gifts, and please don't think for a minute that I think I'm God by handing them out. I'm just representing him. So I want you, after the service, to go and use those gifts, all right? All clear? So good on you. You might be starting to see a bit of a problem with what I've just asked you to do, right? And that is, what are we to go and do? Because it's really obvious that what I gave out was a whole bunch of stuff to go use to paint a wall or paint something, right? Which wall to paint? What thing do you want painted? And if you do what you normally do, and that is you all go home separately, are you going to be able to use your gifts? Most of you won't be able to use your gifts without the other gifts, will you? A paintbrush, well, you could use it to dust, but ain't much good for painting if you've got no paint. Likewise, a roller. And if you ever try to get paint on a roller without a roller tray, it just, well, I have, and believe me, it's not pretty. You can't fill cracks without filler, and then, you know, you can use your finger on cornices, but when they've got a big crack, you need the spatula, and you need a stirrer, otherwise the paint comes out all streaky, and if you don't wash it down, you get all these little lumpy bits on the paint. I know all this because I've made all these mistakes. However, what if I told you, every one of you who've received a gift, that your task after service is to go over to that cream wall and I want you to restore it back to new. I want you to fill all the holes, get rid of all the scuff marks, and don't go have a look at it because you'll realise how many scuff marks are actually on it. I might get a volunteer to paint it, you never know, Stephen. But if your job was to go do that, it'd be a heck of a lot clearer, wouldn't it? You go, oh, that's what I've got my gift, I've got to go do that. So that would be clear, but here's my question. What if one or two of you chose not to report over there with your gift and use it on that task? Would the wall get painted? Depends on who chooses not to show up. If Kathy doesn't show up with the paint, nothing's going to get painted, right? It might get sanded and filled, but it won't get painted. Likewise, if you show up with the filler, if you don't show up with the filler and the spatula, all the dings are still going to be there. So when you paint it, it's not going to be a very good job, is it? And if you feel like me, you're going to definitely need the sandpaper to show up and fix up all my mistakes. And if you don't have the roller, if the roller and the roller tray don't show up, the person with the paintbrush can probably get the wall painted and do a very good job, but by the end of it, they'll have RSI, they'll be burnt out, and they'll give up using your gift. You know, for that goal, for that plan to be completed, we need everyone who's received their gift to head over there and play their part in completely fulfilling that, and then we will have a wall that is fully restored back to its original condition. Well, today we're looking at God's big plan, and God, everyone receives a gift from God. And while you might think you missed out because I didn't give you a paint roller, every one of you should have received a paint swatch, didn't you? That's a visual reminder that you have received a spiritual gift from God, all right? And you have received a gift. Even if you don't know what it is, you've got it. So that visually represents that. I'm going to explain it a bit further. And the Bible says that He, this is God, has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Each one. That means every single one of us. And every Christian receives this gift, and I'm not going to talk a whole lot about today what those specific gifts are and how they work and what your fit is. That's for the coming weeks. I just want you to remember, when you see that, I've got a gift, at least one. Most of us get more than one. Big question we want to talk about today is, well, what's God's plan for our spiritual gifts? And as I thought about this, I realised that God's plan for our spiritual gifts is just inseparably connected with God's plan for Jesus. So whatever God planned for Jesus, the way we use our gift is connected to that. And so we heard about God's plan today in our reading. Let me read it to you again. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. So God wants to bring everything under the rule and authority of Jesus, which means it lives in His kingdom, under His reign, under His blessing. And what that really means is it will bring, is to restore everything back to the way God originally intended it to be. That will be the evidence that something is under the authority of Christ, is the fact that it's being restored. What happens when things are not under the authority and rule of Christ? Have a look at our world. Wars, millions of displaced people, refugees, millions of people starving, rich nations exploiting poor nations. That's globally. We only have to look to our streets to see broken families, broken marriages, broken relationships, broken people. And then you go, hang on, if I look inside, I see brokenness. I see a trail of mess that I've left because I haven't lived under the authority of Jesus, but rather let maybe my own thinking or someone else's guide my life. So we see the evidence that a whole lot of stuff is still not under the authority of Christ. That's what happens. And the Bible calls our choice to live independently of God, to not live under His authority. It's got a simple word. It's called sin. Now, sin is more than just a word that describes our choice to not live under Jesus' authority. Sin's a powerful force. And once we say yes to it, it enslaves us and takes over, and it has wreaked havoc. It has wreaked havoc in our own lives, to humanity in general, and in all of creation. So let's go back and use that wall as an example of what's happened. So picture that wall, brand new and painted, perfect. That's before sin. Now picture it with way more scuff marks, dents, holes, and actually the whole thing's been soaked with water and it's stained. Anybody know anything about gyprock that has been water? It's useless. That's the condition we're in. What sin has done to us. Yet God's love for us, as sin-stained and banged up and damaged as we are, has never faltered. He has always loved us. And God's plan has always been to fully restore us. Sin's plan, totally destroy God's good work. God's plan, restore us. And so we read about that earlier. Ephesians 1:4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So God's master plan, even before you were a twinkle in your parents' eyes, even before the beginning of time, is that he would make you holy and without fault in his eyes. In other words, he would restore you back to original perfect condition through Jesus. That's the plan. How did God pull that one off? Well, he did it through the cross. And we're told about this in our reading in Ephesians 1:7. He, that is God, is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave all our sins. How many of you here have renovated a house? Was it costly? A tin of paint, $85 now, that's if you pay full price, 4 litres, is a huge cost. The bigger the renovation, the bigger the cost. And for those of us who are home handymen, it's not only cost of materials, it's time and effort and blood, sweat and tears. Particularly when I'm involved, there's usually some blood. But and JD, actually, yeah. It's a huge cost. Now, God paid a huge price for our restoration. He gave the life of his one and only Son. Why did he give the life of his one and only Son for this restoration to take place? Well, see, here's the thing. Our restoration is not just about restoring an old thing to something new. Sin had done even a bigger damage on us. Not only had it damaged us, it had put us so far into debt, there was no way we could pay that debt off. Like, it's like a house mortgaged up to the hilt. The house is in total shambles and it's being lived in by someone who won't move out. That's the condition we were in. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the debt of that mortgage of sin. He paid it fully and completely. And then to show he had the authority to kick sin out, he rose again from the dead. And so he said, I'm here as a victor, here in Christ I stand. I can't remember the verse in Christ alone, it was beautiful, it talked about this, but basically he's gone, out sin, I'm the new owner. And Jesus comes and lives in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is spoken of in these readings as really, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our hearts, and it's two things, it's the stamp of God's ownership, but it's also the guarantee that he's going to do the job. He's going to restore us. And so we read, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he purchased us to be his own people. I thought about this. You know, when you buy a house, there's a settlement process. I think we can look at our baptism as the settlement process of God's ownership. At our baptism, we're joined to Jesus in his death and his resurrection. So our mortgage on our lives for sin is paid in full in the waters of baptism, and we're given a new life. And Jesus says, now you're mine, I'm moving in. And the way Jesus moves into our hearts and takes up residency is through the Holy Spirit. And so he comes and lives in our hearts. And Now, as people under the new ownership of Jesus, the Holy Spirit also, what do you do when you've moved into a house that's in a shambles? Some of us live in it, but if you're like me, you start renovating it, don't you? My wife couldn't believe how quickly I started renovating our house. One day in and I've ripped stuff out already. But this is what the Holy Spirit does. He starts renovating us back, restoring us back to original. And 2 Corinthians says, "And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." What are you going to look like when he's finished this restoration work? Jesus. That doesn't mean you're going to look like a Jewish man, but you're going to look like him in character and in heart and in the fruit of your life. Now, our restoration work, the Spirit's restoration work, is an ongoing process, and so is God's plan of bringing everything under the authority of Jesus. Jesus has won the battle over sin. He's paid the price to free us so that everything can come under his authority. But the working out of this is an ongoing process and will only be complete when Jesus comes again. So, you know, we sing songs like, "Lord, come," because we know that's when it's all going to be perfect again. And in the meantime, what Jesus has said is, not only am I restoring you, but I'm going to call you now to be, join me in my work. You are to be my visible presence in this world and carry on this work of bringing restoration to the world, of bringing things under my authority and reign. And what does that mean? Well, you know, if not being under the authority of Jesus means people don't know him, we help bring it under the authority by sharing good news with them. If it's causing pain and hardship and we come in there and bring love and help and service, that's bringing that area under the rule and reign of Christ. And he calls us to join him in that work. And the great thing is, Jesus does not call us to do it and leave us empty-handed. He gives us gifts. Jesus gives us special gifts for God's restoration work. So before our reading today, in verse 7, the second one, we read, "However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people." Now, if you're looking at that, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people, and you go, what does that mean? Not alone. I thought the same thing. I had to work out what was actually going on here. So, when it speaks of Jesus ascending high, it's definitely referring to his ascension into heaven after he rose again from the dead. And we're told through Philippians 2 and these verses here that he ascended into heaven and he took up a special place of honour that God prepared for Jesus as a result of him obediently dying on the cross for our sins. And Ephesians 1:21 describes this place of honour. "Now he," Christ, "is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come." So Jesus is ruling already as king. Now, if we go back to this example then, where it talks about him leading a crowd of captives and giving out gifts, Paul's actually alluding to something that happened in his time. A king would go out to fight a battle, and if they'd win the battle, when you beat someone, you took their people as captives and you took the plunder with you, and you would return back to your home city with the palace. And as you came into the city, all the people would line the streets and cheer your victory, and the king would lead the captives in. But what he would do is he would share the plunder with the people as he went to his palace and took up his reign. It was a celebration. So that picture in mind, after winning the victory over sin and death, Jesus ascends into heaven and he shares gifts that are only made possible because he's won that victory. He shares gifts with his people. He can't share spiritual gifts with us if he hasn't kicked out the old owner and moved in himself. So now that's possible. He shares us gifts as he ascends into heaven. The question is, what was Jesus giving out? He was giving out kingdom power to his people. Jesus was giving out spiritual gifts that would give us his kingdom power to carry on God's plan of restoration for this world, to carry on the plan to help bring everything under the authority and rule and reign of Jesus Christ. So I know you can define spiritual gifts in different ways, but one definition is a spiritual gift is a God-given ability you've been given to bring somebody more under the authority and leadership of Jesus Christ. And as that happens, there's going to be restoration in their life. There's going to be healing. Jesus came into this world to declare God's kingdom is here. At the time he did that, the kingdom of darkness, of sin and death, was ruling completely. He came in and he took it on. He won the battle on the cross. And he's now establishing that kingdom. And part of the establishment of that kingdom is restoring the damage sin has done in our own lives, in the lives of others, in the world around us. That's the kingdom work of restoration. And we have been given these kingdom power gifts, these spiritual gifts, to join him in that work of restoration. Now, until the end of time, whatever we do will only be partial. That's not to discourage you, but to keep this in reality. The fact is, at the moment, the kingdom of darkness is allowed to discontinue for a time. It's defeated. So if you imagine that as a circle, and then Jesus' kingdom is broken in and there's this overlap. There's this section in the middle. That's where you and I live. Don't see Jesus' kingdom as a circle because it's got no end. It's like a continuous thing. But we live in this in-between time. And that means that what we do is still not going to be complete until Jesus comes and does the final line and says, no old kingdom. But the plan doesn't change. We're to join him in his restoration work, using the gifts he gives us to play our part. And here is the bizarre thing, crazy. The church is God's restoration plan for the world. You think, the church? Yep. Not necessarily the building, but the gathered people of God, the church. And it's to be carried out under the leadership of Jesus Christ. And so, in Ephesians again, Paul writes, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. How on earth is Christ's body going to fill this world and bring his restoring work to every aspect of this world so that it comes under the rule and authority of Jesus? He's going to do it through the church. And how is the church given the capacity to do this? Well, the church is empowered for restoration through spiritual gifts. This is the reason you're given spiritual gifts. God empowers the church to bring Christ's restoring work to the world by giving each one of you at least one spiritual gift. So remember the paint swatch, you got at least one. And what does paint do? It restores, it rejuvenates. So when you look at this, remind yourself, not only do I have a gift, but my gift is to bring restoration in some way. And he does this under the leadership of Jesus. And the thing is, he calls us to use them together. Like those gifts I gave out for painting, we have to use them together to really be effective. And so at the end of our reading today, it says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Underline those words if you're following along, as each part does its own special work. So here is the confronting reality. If each part does not do its own special work, then the restoring work of Jesus is hampered. If we choose to withhold using our spiritual gifts, we hold back being able to allow the restoring work of God to be at work in the church, in the streets we live in the workplaces we work. The plan is for us to use our gifts and to permeate the whole world with it. But when we choose not to, that is held back. Now let's go back to the people I gave gifts to at the beginning of the message. Assuming that that ladder and plank is available, because you're going to about need to reach the high bits, Sophie, yes. You've got all the resources and there's enough paint in that tin to paint that wall. There is no question that I have given those people enough gifts to restore that wall back to new condition. No question about it. Do you know what the question is that remains? Will they all take their gifts and bring it to that task and restore that wall? And that's actually my question to you today. Will you bring the special gifts God has given you and put them to work for others in his body, the church, for his master plan to restore the broken world through Jesus? As a church, we've been given a plan of reaching into the community with the gospel that all may know Jesus and worship him. That's putting everybody, things under the authority and reign of God. And I believe God has given us all the gifts we need to do that task. The question is, will you bring what he's given you to that task so that people can know Jesus and worship him? Will you play the part that God has saved you for and equipped you for? I'll leave you with the words from Ephesians, for we are God's created masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your big plan that in Jesus you have always loved us, and you've always intended to come through Jesus and restore us, to declare us holy, without fault and without blame because of what Jesus did on the cross. And Lord, you now call us to join you in that work as your visible presence in this world. The plan is you want to fill this world with the presence, the restoring presence of Jesus, and you gift us to do that. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would show us the gifts we have, show us where we fit and use them, and compel us to use them out of gratitude and thanks for the work that you've already done in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.